Now we're being recorded, so.
Okay.
And did you get, just because I think I'm the might be the organizer for the next one or the one after, how did you do that, Tisha? Did when you
Jean Scott sent a list of instructions.
Okay, perfect.
So,
okay.
I can do it. Anybody else can, that's for sure.
Well, I think we should get started if Jackie.
Yeah. So hopefully everybody got the minutes that I sent out.
Yeah, thank you.
Albeit
yeah.
in the recent past.
yeah, we got them. Thanks, Michael.
What?
I said, yes, we got them.
Good.
Thank you.
So I think where we left it from last time is we're talking about does understanding the prerequisites of sampling distributions correlate with students understanding sampling distributions themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked about each of us kind of going off and taking a look at a couple of the prerequisites that Beth and Bob and Joan have mentioned in their chapter and doing a little thinking on that, as well as trying to identify, are there any ways out there that are already established to test these?
Okay.
Does anyone want to add anything from last time or comment on anything from last time?
No, I think what you said is what I had planned on for today. So I think we're on the same thought of train of thought here.
Great.
Well,
anyone want to start it off with something?
Something interesting?
Well, I read a little bit about variability. I don't mind starting.
Great.
I had looked at, we had talked about there was a special surge volume, not volume, or number that was about just on variability. It was from November of 2004. And one of the articles that I read in there, I wanted to discuss, well, I only read two, but one in particular I found interesting. Was by Danny Benzavi, and it was called Reasoning About Variability and Comparing Distributions. And I thought it was a good one to look at in the sense of being a prerequisite, because it looked at variability as directly related to trying to compare distributions. And as far as our group, the study that he did in this article was looking through recording, videotaping two seventh graders through a series of activities and trying to trace the development of their reasoning about variability. But what I found very, very interesting related to us was that he broke it down to a very clear research question, was how do these students reason about variability as part of an open-ended exercise, and then just stated the goal is trying to trace the emergence of reasoning. And it was somewhat reassuring to me that you could look at it. He described very clearly what's the specific context and what's he looking for. So I found the idea of doing classroom research a bit less intimidating after looking at what he had done. On the other hand, what I found rather intimidating, and we've come often about this idea of looking at qualitative research, was when he discusses how the videotapes were studied. He talks about this process of triangulation and having the researchers study the videotapes, but then have other researchers who weren't involved in the project also study it to confirm that they were seeing the same ideas here. So I thought that looked rather challenging to find other people who would be willing to do that. But as far as the variability went, he looked on what we've read. I can't remember what article it was in, but that there were the four aspects of variability, which is notice it, acknowledge it, measure it, model it, and then describe and represent, which is what Shaughnessy and Redding had added. And so he kind of traces through the dialogue of these students at what point they get familiar with all six of those aspects and how they develop through that, how they go from just looking at outliers to trying to look at frequencies to trying to look at representative values. And in then towards the end of his article, he kind of describes what the students did and then proposes stages of reasoning, which we've seen in various articles that we've read. People just propose stages of reasoning. But then he gets, at the end, he talks a good bit about what's the role of the teacher in trying to inspire reasoning or in trying to do this process of what he calls enculturation, trying to get the students to think statistically. And he proposes that the intervention of the teacher, while minimal, was very key. And so his suggestion is to get more research into watching the interaction of teachers and what can teachers do to just reinforce the, let's say, the correct ideas or the right direction reasoning in students, and to not reinforce the wrong directions, basically by not encouraging the students to go along those lines. So it's kind of a combination of variability and a qualitative study and looking at the role of teachers. That might have been a bit lengthy, but that was that. That's all I have for that one.
Great. Thanks, Michelle. Anybody else have any comments on health update or?
Yes, I find that really quite interesting to think about the role of the teacher in develop acculturation. You know, one of the I'll fight is that people see something that nobody can do, or it's very arcane, or not very useful, etc. And changing those attitudes are as important as anything else. You really haven't, I don't know if people have looked at that very well. It sounds like this person, at least.
Can everybody hear everybody? I only caught part of you, Dale.
Oh, sorry. I could. Should I repeat?
If you don't mind, unless it's just my line.
No, I had trouble, but now I can hear you fine, Dale.
Okay. Well, I was just noting that the issue of acculturation, I think, is very important, but often overlooked. This comes to us by students entering classes of statistics classes, feeling that statistics is beyond them, that it has nothing to do with them, that it's arcane, that it's silly, you know, various kinds of attitudes. And the role of the teacher in shaping attitudes so that students will see the value, you know, the excitement, the positive ends of it, it could be extremely important in the success of students. And that's, you know, something that I think we need to pay attention to.
Did we want to keep discussing Michelle's article, or are we just kind of going to go around in the group and talk about all of them, or what's the opinion?
Does anyone have any more to say about Michelle's article? Or
if I could interject, I think that mine follows Michelle's pretty naturally.
Great.
Actually, and Michelle, I also looked in the Statistics Education Research Journal. They had a special issue on distribution that came about because of the special issue on variation. And so both articles that I looked at talked a lot about how there's this issue, which comes first, the understanding of the variation or the understanding of the distribution. I think both, or all of the authors, just kind of came to the conclusion that there's no way to separate the two, that one is a lens through which you view the other. And so that's an interesting theme that shows up. But I think one thing that will help us a lot, it was in Jackie Reed. Is it Chris Reading or Chris Redding? How do you pronounce the name? Does anybody know?
It's Redding.
Redding. Okay, yeah. That's what I thought, but I wasn't 100% sure. Is it Reed? Jackie Reed?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, in their article, this was in 2006, so in November, actually, about a year ago, that this was in Surge. Excuse me. And the original intent of the study was to develop a hierarchy of reasoning about distributions. And as part of it, I think they had done work on an earlier study to do the same thing with students' understanding of variation. And so what caught my eye about this is that last time we had decided we were going to look at prerequisites of sampling distributions and how does students' understanding of those correlate with their understanding of sampling distributions, right? And they sort of did the same thing with variation and distribution. How does the student's understanding of variation correlate to their understanding of distribution? So in an earlier study, they'd given questions in their introductory statistics. It was all college level. They had given questions to students at the end of lecture, and they had 10 or 15 minutes. And there are examples in the articles of these minute questions, they're called. And they had coded them in the past to assess the student's understanding of variation. And then when they started to focus on distributional reasoning, they reanalyzed this data. And so one thing that they did, the original study when they looked at variation, they found that more than half the students had a very, very weak consideration of variation. And about a third of the students had what they called a developing understanding of variation. They didn't classify anyone as having a strong variation. So they ended up breaking them into those two groups, those with a weak understanding and those with the developing understanding of variation. And in those two groups, they went back and looked at the understanding of distribution. And so they had a little comment in there that, I don't remember exactly how they phrased it, but I think they even put forth some statement like, we have evidence that students who have a better understanding, or students who don't, I guess, have any understanding or appreciation for variation, they're not in any position to understand the key elements of a distribution either. And so it was interesting to me that that's the approach that they took, is that they took this prerequisite concept to them, one question, and they divided the students into, did you understand this or not? And then within that, they started looking at their understanding of the other, like for us, would be sampling distributions. So I don't know if that's something that we want to keep in the back of our minds.
Did they define, when they talked about having a weak or a developing understanding of variation, what kinds of things did they look at to define what the difference was?
The weak consider variation, here, I have it right in front of me. Somebody discusses the amount of variation but does not explain how it justifies the inference. Most of these minute questions, they showed them two distributions of data comparing two groups and asked if they thought there was a difference between the two groups. So weak, they discussed the amount, but they didn't talk about how it justified inference, or they incorrectly applied relevant factors to explain variation. They're developing, on the other hand, they discussed the amount and also how it justified the inference made, or they indicated some appreciation of variation as representing the distribution of values. So there's also some a lot of tie-in with whether or not they made that next step to inference, at least in this study.
You know, it's interesting because the one that I read was that, well, it's a younger group, but it was the same kind of thing where it was all on trying to compare two different groups. So it seems like focusing on comparing two different groups is a really good way to see what kind of variation they understand.
And I should point out, too, that there were a lot of students that were classified as having no consideration of variation. They looked at the data and they talked about only a mean or some measure of center as evidence of inference. And those students were not even included when they started to look at distributional understanding.
Okay.
So they at the end mentioned several limitations to this study, that being one. And then also they didn't have very large sample sizes because, I don't know, some of what was in their classes, they didn't have a lot of students give consent. And then also, they didn't have anyone with strong consideration of variation, so they weren't able to look at that end of the spectrum.
Okay.
I wonder how clear it is, how clear the causal direction is. I mean, if they conceptualize this as variation, understanding of variation being a prerequisite, but...
They don't come out and say that either. I think.
I mean, it could simply be that people who are, you know, they understand it all, or they don't understand, you know, that if you looked at it the other direction, it would look equally predictive.
Right, right. that's what I saw a lot in both of these papers. The special issue was on distributional thinking, but I think I saw the word variation just as much, if not more, than I saw the word distribution in these articles. It's a conversation stopper, huh?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to take notes.
Yeah, I see that as a challenge for our approach here is you know, if we model this as some things being prerequisite to others, being able to actually sort out the you know, the causality.
And I think that some things, as viewed as a prerequisite to sampling distributions, are easier to sell. Understanding variation and distribution, I think everyone would agree that's a prerequisite for understanding how sampling distributions work, which is a prerequisite for understanding inference. But I have trouble at the very beginning with the variation and the distribution.
Because they're so tightly connected.
Right.
If you have one, you have the other.
Yeah, in both articles I read, they use the quote that variation is examined through the lens, which is the distribution.
I think that also when you learn distributions, it reinforces your learning of variations.
Right. The Redding and Reed article in the end even says that they're not convinced that we should be teaching students specifically what a distribution is, that that's the knowledge they learn along the way by being introduced to all of these other concepts, that it's not something that you can just define in bold letters in a textbook and have students understand it, that it's something that they have to learn to appreciate. So they're definitely not trying to make it a black and white issue either. I don't know if it helps us any. But they do, though. I guess one thing we can take from this is if we get to the point where we are looking at some of these things and we have data from students, there are hierarchies modeled from, we talked about the SOLO taxonomy a long time ago. Both of these follow that framework. And so there are proposed hierarchies of understanding that we could look at when we're investigating our students' reasoning about things like variation and distributions. We've got some things that would help us code data, I suppose.
Great.
Do you want to go next?
I don't really have too much. So I was looking at, are there other prerequisites that we want to add? So I spent a little time just going through mostly just a couple of textbooks and seeing whether there was other material that they felt was important to cover prior to talking about sampling distributions. I think Beth, Bob, and Joan probably did some thinking about this when they listed their prerequisites. It seems like they did a good job of identifying what most people think of are prerequisites for sampling distributions. The only other one that I found that people often like putting before is probability. I think that's really the step from sampling distributions to inference, because that's understanding what's the probability of drawing a sample like that that you got in a hypothesis testing context, or same idea in a confidence interval estimation context. And so I think that's more of a link from sampling distribution to hypothesis testing and not really sampling distribution itself. The other thing that I think the other things that I was looking at fall into the category of sampling and the idea of random selection and that kind of thing. And that I know is on Dale's list, so I don't know. So I think I'll leave that for him to mention. you know, I didn't find any articles that, that really, you know, popped up and identified other prerequisites.
You mentioned probability as a prerequisite. That wasn't directly on our list, but the concept certainly is important. Just an observation, I, you know, many intro stat books have a section on probability early on, you know, implicitly, I suppose, reinforcing the assumption that they believe that's necessary knowledge goes on. But I often find that students die in that section of computations. You know, it's like the black hole of statistics. Some people fall in and never come out again.
Yeah.
So the concepts are important, but there's an issue of how one can teach the parts of it that are important for going on, and I think that often is not very productive.
And I think that's a great example of what falls into, you know, again, what Alan Ruffin might refer to as the old version of teaching statistics versus the newer version. In the older version, we focus more on mathematics, mm-hmm. and that's where probability comes in. We have to make sure students understand probability and binomial distributions and conditional probabilities and that, whereas what people really need to become a statistically literate citizen, you might not need that much probability to do it.
Yeah, the concepts, I think, can come from experience with sampling. You know, here an issue that we've run across is how do you teach sampling best? Some people believe that having some manipulables is important, and so you see a lot of examples of M&Ms or other flipping coins or things like that. Another approach, though, is to take advantage of the computer technology, and so the applet that Bob has, for example, or I've got some applets on it, too, on our WISE site. That's another way where students can experience, essentially, you know, probability. They'll see distributions emerge and so forth by doing repeated sampling and get a sense of the notion that you can get quite different results with small samples. And see what happens with larger samples and so forth. So manipulating information, manipulating the samples, I think is important, but how it's best done is still an open question. There's another important concept behind this, too, and that's the notion of random. Here, some students, well, the sort of treat version of what random is, it just means haphazard. People say, well, he took a random sample. What they really mean is, well, it was just, you know, catch as catch can or something like that. So the notion of what random means in a practical sense is an important concept. And I think we shouldn't take that for granted, that students mean the same thing by random, you know, as we mean things. So let's see if there's anything else on that. I don't have a specific article to refer to on that. You know, it cuts across a number of studies. We see the chapter from Joan and what Ben Ziv. They've got some nice examples of an approach to sampling. They use Reese's Pieces. But then also Bob's applet, I think, is used too as another approach to experience.
And also the,
you know, I think having an experience with what you see, what comes out of taking a sample, is important.
The one, I think I had mentioned it on this call, the one on the Stoker website, the Statistics Online Computational Resource.
Uh-huh.
I've used that 3 times already this fall, and twice in a master's class and one in undergrad class. And every time afterwards, I've asked the students to just try to explain in their own words what is the distribution of the sample, what's the population distribution, and what's the distribution of the sample mean, if they can write what those 3 things are in their own words.
Uh-huh.
And it was really interesting to me to get a lot of their responses back, because some of them can explain to you perfectly what the population and the sampling distribution are, and then when you ask them to describe the distribution of the sample, because on this website you actually see a sample drawn, they make a histogram of the sample and then add one sample mean,
yeah,
they might get the distribution of the sample totally wrong, or vice versa. So the idea that when Bob was saying it was hard for them when they were doing their research to come up with a clear kind of hierarchy of you understand this first and then this, I kind of saw that just in my brief examples that I got back from class. Sometimes one idea really sticks, whereas one other, they really don't know what's going on.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I've seen that too. I think these things do go together, and sometimes one gains an insight on any one, and it all fits together. You see, people have these aha experiences where suddenly they understand what a sampling distribution is, and it may not be such a linear chain so much as needing to have a certain level of understanding of all of these concepts.
So I'm feeling like we're kind of floating a little bit. And I'm trying to figure out I know from my own experience, I've been a little swamped this fall, and it sounds like that's been pretty typical experience for all of us in the fall.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think about what direction we need to go now. I think adding some of what we've said and read and written about up on the Google group would probably be a good thing, because I'm starting to forget what I read where and what we've already discussed. I don't know if that's happened to anybody else.
Yes, it's happening to me too.
Did anyone log into the Google group thing yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Kisha uploaded her articles. Yeah.
Great.
And I logged in about 10 minutes before our conference call.
I haven't done anything with uploading like an entire Word document, though. Has anybody experimented with? I think other groups had. Somebody had tested that out at least, but I haven't looked at anything like that yet.
I can look right now. I just put it back up on my file under the file system. Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
Under there's something called the file repository. And if you go to that section, you can upload a file. And
okay.
Right now there's
and then retrieve them from there as well? Okay.
Yeah. And right now there's only one file uploaded by Justin, the guy who created it. So nobody's done it yet. The activity is listed as low activity, and we're currently using 0% of our quota.
All right.
Plenty of space available, but it does work.
Yeah, that should be helpful to allow us to work on this when the time, when we have some time.
Well, should we try to make a short-term goal of each of us before our next phone call, trying to upload maybe a short summary of what we've read today, if we've read maybe like Tish and I, because it was a specific article, and some of the notes that we had circulated by email previously. I think it was before a July call or August call, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe each of us could try to just upload the notes that we had sent to everybody there so that we have everything in one spot. Would you be open to that idea?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
See, Michael, are you still there?
I'm still here. Yeah, I said, I think that's a great idea. Is there anything else that we had on our agenda to talk about for this meeting, or any other thoughts? I think that's a good suggestion on where to go next in terms of keeping things up to date. But what's next on our task list?
That's a very good question.
I don't know the answer to that one, but I really do. I really like the question that you posed during our last call, Michael, with this understanding prerequisites to sampling distributions. Does it correlate with what they know about sampling? I think it's very, very interesting, and I hope that we all continue to work in this direction. I don't know if anybody else has changed their minds, but.
No, I still like the idea. I'm just trying to figure out what task I could do to move productively in that direction.
Well, I mean, let me, being on the pre-tenure track, and publications are in mind every day, is there something that we want to write up and put together some of what we've been talking and thinking about and start gathering that together? Because I know that was on one of the things that they had suggested at the UF Cross meeting.
Let's
even make our literature review or literature search into something publishable.
Mm-hmm.
Is that of interest to people? Do we think we have a good start? Do we think we have everything we need to publish a paper tomorrow? What do people think about that?
I am very interested in writing the literature review. I'm not convinced that we are at a point that we could synthesize everything yet.
I'm kind of with Tish on that. I'm very interested as well, and that was one of the impetus behind suggesting that we get everything up there in one place to kind of get an overall view. And to do a literature review, we have to know what part we're doing a review of. So are we doing a review of studies that are related to prerequisites for sampling distributions? See what I mean? Just to kind of figure out, well, what's the angle that we would take it from?
I agree with both of you. I think we're pretty far away from something that's publishable. That's kind of my view on it. I think we have a lot more thinking and more to do on that.
Right. But we all want to do it, so that's good.
So what would be next on our task list to progress us towards that?
I think it rolls up on, you'll see on our website where we can all look at them and start trying to put things together. It's not clear how all these pieces really go together. They're certainly all relevant, but in my mind, it's not clear that there's an order to these necessarily, even though it's a nice model, but I don't know evidence for that.
Say more about that, Dale. What do you mean by that?
Well, that you need to have some understanding before you can begin understanding things at another level. For example, sampling or random needs to be understood before sampling needs to be understood before distributions before sampling distributions.
So you don't believe there's need to know before sampling distributions? Can you start with that, like intro class, first topic, sampling distributions?
No, but what I mean is that, well, actually, I think you could probably.
Okay, so maybe take that tack for a second. Work with me for a second here. Take that tack. Your first topic is going to be sampling distribution. What would you teach them on the first day?
Well, you might do some things with simulations that you would simulate drawing samples and showing, you know, where the mean is on each sample and observe that the distributions of possible samples that you could have gotten, in fact, form another distribution. And that if you get a particular sample, it might or might not be an unusual sample, things like that.
There's a lot of new tech, for a first day.
You have to simultaneously teach distributions, though.
Pardon?
I mean, just on a first day, you mentioned sample, you mentioned simulation, you mentioned distribution, mentioned statistic.
Yep. I think you could do it.
But those are all things that I would think they would have to know something about before they could fully understand a sampling distribution.
Sure. Well, I think they're all interconnected. And I think one way that you'd learn more about random and about distributions and so forth could be through that vehicle. I'm not suggesting that that's what one would do, but I think you could.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could certainly approach the idea, even by doing things like, you know, just taking a class and say, let's take, you know, 10 of you as a population, and let's get all possible samples of size 4 from you and find their average ages or something and plot them and then plot all their ages.
Uh-huh.
And just take a look at it.
Yeah, and you'd be learning things about distributions and sampling distribution. I mean, you'd be learning things about all these concepts at the same time.
But if you truly wanted
someone to... And yet it would remain an activity that they could understand.
Right.
It's something about themselves and...
Yeah, well, it would be key that they really understand what's going on, that they can see it.
But when did you first understand? When did all of you first understand sampling distributions? When did that occur for you? Because I know it didn't occur for me when I learned about them.
It wasn't in my first course, and I did the first course and learned it well and could do the problems and all of that, and some level understood it enough to convince the instructor that I understood it, but I didn't really have a real good feeling for what it was until sometime later.
I learned it when I taught it for the first time, honestly.
Yeah, well, I bet that's not unusual.
That's not uncommon.
Well, I probably learned it well when I taught it for the third time.
Another area of your lit review might be simulation. Actually, I think there's quite a few studies done on, and especially recently with the move to go to bootstrapping and things like that. So that might be another piece where they talk about sampling distributions, actually.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of simulation, but with appropriate guidance, that the person knows what they're doing. They're not just clicking away at stuff. They've got to have a goal in mind or question in mind, something they're trying to answer or something they're trying to understand. But it's a great way you can do very quickly on that with computer simulation.
So is there any way that we can enhance our understanding or start thinking about the relationships between these things and sampling distributions by asking questions, by the end of the semester in our classes?
That's a great idea.
Can we here's a very basic thought that hopefully we can develop. Can we ask them one question to figure out whether they understand variability and one question to figure out whether they understand distributional thinking and one for normal distribution and one for sampling, and then also one question, do they understand sampling distributions, and look at the correlation between the first four and the fifth question. Now, obviously, it's naive to think we can assess it with one question, but that's the idea.
Yeah, I would say maybe not a quantitative question, but I think maybe, Tisha, when she was talking about the Reading and Read paper, they used a minute question, which I think is a nice way to gather a lot of information about what your students know in a very short period of time. It wouldn't be quantitative, but...
But that's okay.
Yeah.
I think that might give us a good jump start of, how to keep thinking about what's next on our list, and also... hopefully gain some insight into what are some of the challenges of evaluating this in students, if that's our end goal.
I think that's a really good idea, Michael.
It also might give you a lens as to what really might be prerequisite knowledge. You seeing a non-understanding, you might be able to probe that a bit.
Right. And it actually also might point out, I wonder whether it might point out, they might talk about some other prerequisite that we hadn't thought about.
Absolutely.
All right.
I know often I get a little too concrete in ideas, but I don't want to, limit ourselves to that. Is there any larger level thinking about that, or?
Well, I think it could be quite interesting to see if we can come up with the questions that get at these concepts.
And maybe that can be part of a literature review, too. I mean, why reinvent the wheel?
Right. Good.
Well, I know at IASC, at the meeting, one of the most exciting sessions was one where everybody was talking about what's a good question to assess conceptual understanding. And I know Larry Weldon and Brian Phillips are actually trying to assemble a list of good concept questions. And I had an email exchange with Brian recently, and he basically said he got none.
Mm.
He asked people to submit them, and he got none. but it seems like even developing a set of questions that would be helpful towards assessing conceptual understanding might be useful. And maybe that's kind of a tangential product that we can get from this.
You know, I thought some of the questions that Bob had in his article with sampling distributions were really good. Where they had a shape of the population and then had kind of a multiple choice of what the distribution of means would look like. Unless you have a good understanding of sampling distributions, you'd have trouble with that.
Right.
The only danger in multiple choice is us not learning what they're thinking.
Right, but you could. I think he did leave room in there to explain why.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Make the choice and then say, now, why did you do that? Okay. It would be interesting to see why they would rule out some of the choices.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like starting to assemble a list of questions is a reasonable task.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will help us understand better what some of these concepts. Yeah. Something to keep in mind, too, is it probably is not the case that these are all or none, that you either have it or don't. You know, there are levels of understanding things. Certainly if you have zero understanding, you're not going to understand sampling distributions, but you may not need to have perfect understanding of everything to be able to get pretty far down the road
right. With
sampling distributions.
Yeah, that's a good point. So there's kind of levels of your prerequisites.
I think there are a lot of models out there that allow for that. This Reading and Read paper talks a lot about the hierarchical models.
Well, I think Michael's idea about working on some questions and trying to come up with some good conceptual questions and just trying some out, even just, you know, informally with it. Andy said the one-minute questions. I've got 4 courses right now, so I have a lot of opportunity to ask things like that just to get some feedback and start to get some ideas. So I'd be happy to try a few different things out, and if you send any my way that you come up with, distribute them and see what kind of answers I get back.
Do we want to aggregate them all on our Google site?
That would be a good idea. Yeah. I think that's exactly what we should do.
Great.
Are we going to keep reading about some of these things, too?
Yeah, I think that would be a good source for finding good questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can keep going with some more on the variability because there's 2 or 3 more articles in this one particular volume that I've printed out and just haven't gotten to yet. So
It's the same thing for me. And I haven't looked at all into... Bob had mentioned last month that we check into math education, educational psychology. Mm-hmm. I have not done that yet. I haven't looked outside the statistics education stuff.
Both of those special issues that you're talking about actually mm-hmm. came out of a research forum, where all those authors actually, I think, were there and gave a presentation and actually had a lot of talking time with other researchers to refine their ideas and things like that. And both of those came out of the same conference. So.
Is it that STRL? I can't remember.
Yeah, the Statistical Reasoning, Thinking, and Literacy Forum.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. Should we try to set a date for the next time we meet up?
Sure.
That's a good plan. So 1 month is a starting point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is this day of the week a good time? Or say November 1 would be about a month away?
November 1 is a holiday year, so it might not be here.
Okay.
So the second or third is better.
Second work is a Friday. That would work for me.
Fridays at this time will not work for me. I'd have to do it earlier.
Okay.
Well, we can move time forward or backward, too, perhaps.
That's a pretty strong power you have there, Dale.
Uh-huh. I like making time move backwards.
Actually, Friday night at 10 p.m. maybe isn't ideal for me either. I don't know that I'll have anything social going on, but there's a higher likelihood on a Friday night than on a Thursday night.
That's true.
How about Wednesday?
Well, if the first doesn't work, can we move to the 8th?
I'm away at a conference then.
Okay.
What about earlier in that week of November, like just the
Monday?
5th? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, any of those?
Wednesday's no good for me. I teach all day.
Monday could work. I'm flying on Tuesday.
What's the date on Monday?
The 5th.
If it's not before the same time as we did this call, I can do it. I can do it this time or later.
That's my need as well.
That would work for me.
Okay.
So the same time on Monday the 5th? That work?
Monday the 5th and 30. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so we did it on the half hour again, or do you want it on the hour?
If it's on the hour, so I teach until 4:15.
Ah, okay.
Started at 4:30.
So 4:30.
So 4:30. I mean, or if we want to start at like 4:45 or 5, that would even be a drop better for me. But I don't want to.
45
is
okay with me.
I'm okay with any of it.
Does that work?
Okay. So let's do 4:45 East Coast, 3:45 Central, 1:45 West Coast, and really late at night again, Monaco.
Does that work in Monaco?
That's just fine in Monaco.
What time is it for you?
4:45 East Coast.
It's right now. It's 11:30 p.m.
Okay,
but that's fine. That's not so late. It's actually it's actually a good time for me because it's quiet here at that time.
Okay. Okay. Well, just to do a little bit of sensitivity here, maybe. I think the main thing that we have decided is that we will continue to work our literature on requisites for understanding sampling distribution, and we'll share resources, put them up on our new Google site. We'll also make an effort to see if we can identify key questions that we believe get at conceptual understanding in these different areas, and a goal would be, as Michael suggested, maybe to come up with a question or two in each of these areas to be able to get at how they might be related to each other. Let's see. So I think that's the main points for moving forward. Anything else on that?
I think that sounds like a great synthesis.
Great.
Well, yeah, I'm not synthesizing what everybody else has said, but we'll have minutes on that, I guess, and we'll have a chance to. I think we should take advantage of this Google site maybe to present sort of summaries or what we take from the articles, you know, so we got the article, but so what, for the person who read it most closely, what's your recommendation of what, you know, should other folks read this? What do you get out of it? Why should we read it?
What are the main points, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Good idea.
Andy, do you have any suggestions for us?
I think it sounds like you're taking the right next steps. And I think aggregating things on that Google site will help. It'll help eventually put together the lit review, which will be nice. And I think then it'll also help you refine those questions, whether they come out of papers or whether you write them yourselves or adapt from, you know, other researchers' questions. I think both the, you know, getting up to a point where you can put together a literature review and developing the conceptual items, I think, would be a huge benefit to the community. So,
good. Are we clear on what roles are for next time? Who
I think it's back to the original roles.
Yes. Back to the original roles. I think that's right. So that would mean I'll be recorder, and is it Michelle moderator then? And Michael organizer,
yep.
And Tisha synthesizer?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well?
And can I ask just one quick question? Michael, I saw in your minutes you said something about if we want to hear the recording of this, for example, when I'm typing up the minutes, you gave advice on your notes. What is it that you suggested we do?
Oh, yeah. So ReadyTalk deletes it after a week or two. So you should email Justin, who's the web guy at Cause, and ask him to copy it onto the Cause website.
And they might be doing, I'm not sure if they will automatically, but Jean had asked me when I organized about whether we wanted it moved, and I told her yes. So it might get done for us, but I can definitely contact them again if you'd like me to.
Okay, no, that's okay. I don't mind asking, but I'll try it. But for at the beginning, for example, if it's in the next couple of days, if it's on ReadyTalk, do you have any idea how I can access it directly?
Yes, just one second. All I have is www.readytalk.com.
Okay. Well, I'll try it and keep the code and see if I can find it. Okay. Thank you.
Great.
Well, good night, everybody.
Hey.
Good night to you.
Good night. Good luck
talk
with the continuing semester responsibilities.
I hear you're having fun grading, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, see you in a month.
Signing off.
Bye,
okay.
Everybody.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Please.